The Thrive Podcast, led by faith to elevate His name, encourage the body of Christ, enrich our families, and serve our brothers and sisters through hard work and with integrity, bringing glory to God. This is how we thrive. And now, your host, Casey Majorca.
And welcome back to the Thrive Podcast. Today's a great show. We've got Emily Garrett, the mom of Faith and Victory Church in Auburn, the minister of music. And it was a great time recording this. Had a lot of fun, great conversation. But before we get to that, a subject that's been on my mind lately, and what reminded me of it was a comment that I had made on Facebook a while back. It just so happened that Emily responded to that comment, and she was very happy that a guy had made the response. But here it is. So there was an article about women that wear leggings, and I had responded back that I was fed up with it as well, that I couldn't stand it, something like that. And she then responded with her, "I'm very glad it was a man who said that." And I'll tell you why. Women that wear form-fitting things, leggings, that kind of thing, it really bugs me because it causes men, you know, for our minds to go places that they shouldn't go. And really, it's everybody's responsibility to make sure that we don't let a brother, a sister fall. And that can do that. Just looking at a woman dressed, you know, in a way that allows our minds to go down a rabbit hole we don't want to go, it's just not a good thing. So, you know, you can agree with me, disagree with me. Personally, you know, I don't think it's proper, and it's driving me nuts because when I drop off my daughter at a Christian preschool, I see all these women in very tight pants, and I'm having to find another place to look. I'm trying to look away. It's like I can't have a conversation with them because they have all these tight clothes on, and it's just, it's not right. To me, also, the fact that I would even have to bring this up in a Christian format, it boggles my mind. You know, I see some of the clothes that people are letting their daughters dress in. Don't even get me started. I just hope when my daughters are at an age where they start wanting to wear these things that I can explain to them how important it is that they think of others, and that they also, you know, they think well of their bodies, that they use modesty when they choose their clothing, when they are out in public and what they do. And I think all of us can really benefit from that, and can, you know, modesty is not just dressing either. It's how you act. It's how you talk. Okay, that used to be my thing. I used to have a really filthy mouth, and that was one thing that God has really worked through me. You know, now when I hear people talk that way, it's just, wow, I can't believe that used to be me. And so I just, I had to get that off my chest real quick. I just had to rant about that for a little bit because it's just driving me crazy lately, and it seems like it's everywhere now. And that, you know, the world says it's okay, but you got to remember that we are not to be just like the world. We were called to be more. We were called to be what God wants us to be. And God clearly spells out that the stuff that's going on in the world is not okay. All right, so I'm done with that. So let's go ahead and get to our interview with Emily. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We did this on worship, obviously, since she's the worship leader. But we had a great conversation back and forth about the different aspects of worship versus praise. And I really think you're going to get something out of this. So I really hope you enjoy this. Right, in the studio today, we have Faith and Victory Church's own mom, the minister of music. I love that tag. It's just awesome. Welcome, Emily Garrett.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome to be here. Actually, we've been trying to get you in the studio for a while, and
yes,
this just finally worked out, and this is going to be a great one. I'm really excited about this
I'm
one.
I'm glad.
Well, the first thing we got to start off with is, you know, you are the current now minister of music at the church. You're in charge of everybody up there on stage. How did you get there? That's, I mean, that's, you know, that's the number one out the gate. We got to know, what's the story?
It's a great story, actually.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's a great story because I'd love to sit here and say that I was born to do this. I knew from a young age I was supposed to be a worship leader, but that is not how it happened. It happened was I was in the right place at the right time, that going to Faith and Victory Church for about a year, new Christian, had got saved at Faith and Victory, never gone to a different church before that, didn't even believe in organized religion before that. And the worship leader at the time was moving out of town, and they kind of looked around and said, Emily, you can do it. Let's have you try. And didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but tried for a little while. And it was definitely a case of equipping the called by God. Definitely. I was not prepared, should not have been able to do it, probably wasn't very good at it for a couple of years. But luckily for me, Pastor Matt and Pastor Crystal didn't have much other choice. So they put up with me for a few years until I kind of got a groove. But it was good. It's a good story now of just faithfulness, because I did not know what I was doing. He's still equipping me now. I'm still learning new stuff all the time. But it was fun for a while just trying to figure it out. And the worship team was so good. There's been people on the team now that were there from the very beginning, and they were just so gracious during that time, just learning with me and allowing me to grow in what I was doing. So it's been a roller coaster.
Well, and that's crazy. What I was thinking, you know, when I was thinking about that story too, because we had been going there when Cheryl was in charge of the whole thing, and it was more of a shock, you know, when they kind of announced, like, okay, Emily's going to be taken over.
Yeah.
And it wasn't more of a, really? Like, because you can't sing. It had nothing to do with that. It was more of just your personality type, you know? And again, this is nothing bad against Emily. It's just calling those that aren't equipped, you know, you know how all of us are. I mean, we're going to go way into where I'm at, because when I started, but whoa, but really it was more of just a, you know, just like, wow, Emily is such an introvert, and she just is so quiet.
I am a little bit. I'm also an A-type personality, and typically musicians are B-type personalities. I'm very organized, very analytical, not super imaginative, creative, and it kind of works for the team, actually, because I can keep those guys in check, I guess.
Well, it's kind of nice to have somebody in the leadership that's organized. Right? No, I'm just kidding.
I let them be creative and give them some boundaries, and it works out great because we have a great worship team. They're so good at what they do.
Absolutely. And that's what's funny about when you look back about the whole thing is I can't imagine anybody else up in that position in charge now. And I do remember this one time when we were still in the warehouse. And I can't, for the life of me, I've been trying to think of the song and I can't remember what it was, but it was just one day you were up there and we were all singing and there was a clear switch.
It was Worthy as the Lamb.
Yes. And all of a sudden
it was Easter.
You had belted it out. Yep. And it just so happened Ryan was standing right next and I went, what happened? And he goes, I know, man, she is just rocking it. And
yep.
It was, it almost like that was the switch. That was the day.
I totally agree with you, actually.
That you took ownership and just ran with it.
That was a weird day because it was Easter and I was singing and Cheryl was still the worship leader and she did a fantastic job, obviously, but she had a cold. Mm-hmm. And that was a harder song to sing, and she couldn't hit the notes because of her cold, because she's a fantastic singer.
Right.
So it was kind of strange for her not to be able to do that. And I just during practice, they were like, we don't think we can do this song because Cheryl can't hit the notes. And I was like, well, I think maybe I can. And I tried it and they were like, well, okay, you can. Let's do that then. And it was definitely a switching point because I gained some confidence that day. I think I didn't have a lot before that. So.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I've always been, we were there when Cheryl was there as well. But you took over pretty close to after we got there. It was probably a year or two in the I think we've been going there almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really I kind of, obviously in my heart, I'm more attached to you because you've been there longer, but also because my switch came during your leadership. Mm-hmm. And that was, and you probably, it's funny, you have this interesting perspective because you're staring at all of mm-hmm. us and we're staring at all of you. Yeah. And you actually see more.
I do.
And you've probably seen the change from when I used to just stand there. I was a hands in the pocket kind of guy. And now I'm up front, hands in the air, you know, and some days I got to tone it down a little bit because yep. I'm going over the speakers and I'm getting into it. And I never saw myself in that position. What's it feel like? I mean, not to target, like, you've seen me grow from that point, but you've probably seen people grow.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what's
yeah.
that feel like?
It is amazing. That's probably one of the best parts about being the minister of music, or even just being up on stage at all. I'm sure all the worship team has seen some of that at some point, and you can almost pinpoint the moment when people just accept the Holy Spirit, because their whole demeanor changes. And sometimes they cry, sometimes they raise their hands, sometimes they fall to their knees. Sometimes you can just see a softening in their whole face, you know, that it's just like they're giving up all of a sudden and just letting it go. And it's like amazing, because there's people that you've watched for days, weeks, sometimes even years, and you're just like, come on, give it up, come on. And when they finally do, it's just like, man. Oh, because you just know what's about to happen for them. You know, yeah. You know that their life's just about to change. And it's just, it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah. You know, I've always caught people at the door, literally 1 foot in the door.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go in there during worship. And I tried to nudge, like, man, hey, I know what you're talking about. Get in there. Just stand there. Just start with standing there. And that's always been my thing is, I used to be the standing, I couldn't even clap and sing. It was one or the other. And I still, to this day, pretty much it's one or the other. I can't keep a beat, but there's something different when you give yourself over to the music, mm-hmm. when you actually worship.
Yeah.
And so that actually leads me into my next question. Cause we've had some joking comments. We've talked about this a lot. What is worship music? And what is not?
Yeah, it's a really great question. There's different kinds of worship, right? I think obviously worship's biblical, and worship to me, as far as what the Bible says, is just what gives praise to God. And there's personal worship, there's, you know, devotional, and then there's corporate worship. And so, you know, obviously I'm in charge of the corporate worship for our church, and that's really different than a personal worship. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, because music was created by God to evoke emotion.
Right.
And that it's one of the ways to worship him. It's not the only way, obviously, and it affects people differently. But music was created to create an emotion. And so sometimes people listen to songs on the radio or on their CDs, and it gives them an emotion and they feel something through it. And it's wonderful and it's good, but it's not corporate worship.
Right.
Because it's maybe more me focused. Like when you're talking about how what happens with me during the song. And corporate worship, we really focus on upward, vertical, God-centered. He is great. Not, I did this and so he is great. It's, he is great. And it's really different. And I think some people get surprised by how much I read words of songs when they say, hey, this is a great song, I think we should do it. And I'll start to question, like, well, what does this line mean, you think? And what does that line mean? Because if it has anything that doesn't focus on God or Jesus, then it's not going to be ready for corporate worship. And lots of different songs, lots of different suggestions have come, and people get, I have to have that hard message of, this is a great song. It's totally fine to have personal worship to it, but it's not going to work for the corporate center because it's just not focused enough on Jesus.
Yeah. And I actually learned that lesson from you doing exactly that. I'm guilty. I brought you a song I was jazzed about, and you did the same. You liked it, thought it was a great song, and it would have sounded great, what we were talking about, but wasn't wasn't for a Sunday.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm not giving up. Wait till you hear it.
There's
it's a great
plenty
song.
Out there.
But when you explained it to me that way, all of a sudden I went, oh, yeah, I totally see what you're talking about. Yeah. And on top of it, it makes complete sense why we wouldn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually leads me now to the next question would be, so I want to create a worship set that I want to listen to in the morning, something mm-hmm. that I can do for personal worship. Do you have any recommendations for what somebody could look for in their music? Not necessarily songs, but
yeah.
What kind of stuff should we be looking for that would help?
Well, the first and most important thing, I think, is obviously biblically accurate songs. There's plenty of worship, quote unquote, worship music out there that isn't biblically accurate. And don't even bother feeding that into your life, because it's not true and it's not gonna yield any fruit, basically. But besides that, it's really, if it's a personal playlist, it's just about whatever touches you. I mean, and that's gonna change depending on what's going on in your life too, because there may be times when, you know, you're in a relationship that's broken and you need love. And so songs that talk about God loving you is gonna be what's going to touch you the most at that moment and connect you with the Holy Spirit the most. But maybe that relationship gets mended and you move on to something else, and that type of music is what's going to touch you at that time. So for personal worship, it's really just about what speaks to you about the power of God and about the power of Jesus, because as long as it's biblically accurate, it doesn't matter what kind of music you're listening to. Worship music has been amazing, you know, just getting better and better over the years. So many different kinds of music, depending on your style. Obviously, we know our pastor loves Christian rap. I mean, you couldn't have thought, I wouldn't have thought for a second I would even entertain Christian rap when I first became a Christian, because I grew up, you know, with some rap music, and it was not biblical at all. It wasn't good at all. And I thought, you can't be Christian and rap, you know, but now they have some amazing rap out there that's really biblical, Christian based, good messages. And, you know, that's not necessarily my taste, but if it is yours, then heck, listen to some Christian rap if that's what's gonna get you connected and knowing who God is. So I don't think it matters that much as long as it's accurate.
I would totally agree with that. I'm the same way. I actually grew up listening to rap music, and that was just more of a where I grew up in Southern California. That's kind of a requirement or you get kicked out.
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, the stuff I was listening to, not so holy.
Nope.
Quite the opposite. And so, yeah, I was a little the same. And then that went at the men's retreat that JG, Justin Goss, came by, you know, I was thinking to myself, first of all, you know, a lot of it when me and James were up there, it was on purpose. It was more of a comical rapping kind of a thing. Yeah, we won't go there right now.
I would have loved to see that.
It was good stuff. I kind of went, I don't know about this stuff. And then I started listening to some of his music. I was like, you know, again, it's not my go-to,
mm-hmm.
But absolutely blew me away that genre is being cleansed, literally.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. If you think about a teenager who listens to the rap that's out there that does not have a positive message, and then they get to hear that type of music that talks about being a good father and being a good husband and honoring women and honoring God, like, that's amazing. Like, you can totally continue with what they grew up with and their roots and listen to a positive message. And there's nothing but good in that.
So you were mentioning that some songs aren't even biblical. Can you give an example of something that would fall into that?
Yeah. There's lots of great songs on the radio, like we said, but definitely some that don't fall in. Like, I've had a few people talk to me about singing a song that, again, evokes emotion because it's a good thought, which is a song like Better Than a Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Amy Grant, which she's great. Great, nice song. It's basically concept of saying, you know, that God will hear you no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing.
Right.
But it says, you know, God loves a drunkard's cry better than a hallelujah sometimes. And I don't really think that's biblically accurate. You know, I think he likes it all at the same amount. all the time, no matter where you are. If you're not in trouble and you're saying hallelujah, that's just as good as when you're at your lowest point and saying hallelujah. So had to say no to that song a couple of times when people have brought it forth, just because I don't think it follows what we're teaching.
Well, and you know, that song too, you know, it's a good song. Like I said, I'm with you on that one. I think it's more of a Christian that has been in their walk a long time,
yeah,
reads their Bible and understands it. And then when you hear that phrase, you understand that emotion that they're trying to invoke. But yeah, even after, mm-hmm, even knowing that, I mean, I've heard it and gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can understand where they're trying to say, but somebody, again, looking at through the eyes of someone that just got saved,
yeah,
they're thinking, oh well, great, I'm pleasing God more than anything else because yesterday I was so drunk. And no, that's not what it's saying.
That's not what it's saying, no.
And it's so easy to send the wrong message.
Exactly. You can definitely misconstrue things constantly. That's why you have to be so careful with the words that you choose and the songs that we choose, because they can be misconstrued. When you compare that to a song like How Great Is Our God, you know, it's just pure, how great is our God? How great is our God all through the song. I mean, you can't misconstrue that. We're just singing about how great is our God.
Yeah.
And that's just a purely vertical, perfect corporate worship song.
Which goes to, you know, a lot of times there has to be all kinds of different music because,
oh, yeah,
yeah, let's say you got somebody that's steeped in that rap music and everything, and they get saved. What do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get them out of that message, that darkness.
Kind of how I felt, honestly, when I got saved. All the music I listened to was just not good. Just, it didn't have good messages at all. And
no.
Then you're kind of like, what do you do? What do you do? Where do you go?
Exactly. Exactly. So one other thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, recently you actually got up and preached.
Yeah.
Which, again, was totally outside of your box on that one. First of all, what was your reaction when they came to you to say that we wanted you to preach?
Well, I was really excited because I am kind of an introvert and an extrovert in a way. If anybody knows me in my job, I work full time. I'm a director of like over 100 people. I publicly speak all the time in front of hundreds of people without a problem. It's actually do better the more people there are. So as our church grew, maybe that's why I got better. I don't know. But I was excited. I feel like I had a lot to share, and I was honored. Very honored, just because that's not something that everybody gets to do. And the fact that our church trusted me in that way and in that time was just amazing, and something I hope that I can continue to do here or there.
And we hope you continue to do it as well. If you're interested in hearing Emily sing, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. out at Faith and Victory, if you don't catch her up there in the rotation, just wait a couple weeks, you'll see her. Well worth coming on down and listening, and you get a good sermon too with Pastor Matt. So come check us out. Emily, thanks so much for coming in and sharing with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, that was one of my favorite ones to record. I just knew when we brought Emily into the studio that it was just going to be one of those, you know, she's going to be remaining in the top five because we just had a lot of fun, a lot of chemistry, and it was just a great recording. It was one of the most fun ones I've done. And, you know, it got me thinking about how when we first started going to the church, you remember, especially me, I was the hands in the pocket kind of guy.
Yeah.
I was always trying to kind of drag in 15 minutes late because, you know, worship wasn't my thing. And it was just one day of, you know, the switch coming on and realizing that you know, A, this is something we're going to be doing for the rest of our, you know, for eternity, is praising God. It should be something I enjoy. And second, I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. I should be thankful. I should be praising Him. This is nuts.
Yeah.
And it totally changed my outlook.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, being in worship is just so important. Like you said, you know, sometimes people will show up 10, 15 minutes late. They feel like that part of the church service is not that important. And it's just as important as listening to the pastor preach, being there for the other parts of church. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been in worship and, you know, God has just praising him, thanking him for the things he's done, asking him for things that I need, you know, times that I've been going through something and struggling. And it's during that time that the Holy Spirit just really ministers to you. And so, you know, if you're a person that stands outside or shows up late, I just encourage you to show up on time, show up on time, be there and be in worship, because just so much happens. And you don't want to miss that.
Yeah. Don't be the one that's outside going, what happened? What happened? What happened? When you run in because something awesome happened. You should have been there.
Yeah. And like you said, the Holy Spirit can't fit through that doorway.
I did say that.
And that's the Mayorga Minute.
Alright, everybody, as you saw, that was awesome. Absolutely loved that one. And I know I've said it a million times, and I think we've had 20 episodes. This is the 21st episode, and I've probably said it with all of them that it was my favorite, but that truly was a favorite. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, just to be clear, that was a joke at the end. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. It can be in all of us. But it was a joke I made when I was a MC one time trying to get everybody to come into the sanctuary because they were all outside talking that the Holy Spirit could only can't fit through the door. And, so I just don't want that to be taken out of context. It was just an inside funny joke. But anyway, hey, if you have anything to say about the podcast, please let me know, thrivepodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook, The Thrive Podcast. And if you like the podcast, also go back. There's tons of these that were fun. We had a great time. Lots of good stuff. Coming up soon, we've got that podcast with Aaron Quinones, you know, one of my favorite guests that came back and again and again and again. And he will be coming back in the future, not just about missions either. The other thing, we've got Rhonda Summer is going to be coming up here soon, as well as Pastor John Butcher Sr. He was, it was awesome to have him in the studio with Pastor Matt Krachunas. We had a great time and a great talk about that. So I'm looking forward to getting those all out to you. So keep your eyes peeled. Have a blessed week.